Welcome to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Jody Peterson. This week's program is about oil and gas regulation. A new Colorado law, Senate Bill 181, will result in a new set of statewide regulations for oil and gas. It also gives local communities greater control over drilling inside their borders. It allows local governments to develop regulations that are more stringent than the states, if they choose, and many are doing so. Here on the Western Slope, communities are taking different approaches to regulating the industry. Delta County decided to repeal its oil and gas regulations in September, while Gunnison County has had its own local regulations for several years now. To understand the big picture, I first spoke to Matt Sura, an oil and gas attorney who works for local governments on the Front Range. I asked him to give an overview of SB 181, which was signed into law this past April.
Senate Bill 181 really did two things primarily. First, it reformed the Colorado Gas Conservation Commission mission to protect public health, safety, welfare, and the environment. Previously, the mission of the Colorado Gas Conservation Commission was to foster oil and gas development, and while fostering or encouraging oil and gas development, to protect public health, safety, and welfare. And that was a confusing mission. Senate Bill 181 put public health, safety, and welfare up front. Despite costs to the industry, the commission now is mandated to protect public health, safety, welfare, and the environment. The other thing that it did was give local governments clear regulatory authority over oil and gas within their jurisdiction.
And how are counties responding to this new authority?
Local governments are taking, that opportunity and are writing new regulations that are stronger and more protective. Delta County is really kind of going against the tide. We're seeing a lot of local governments recognizing that this is a heavy industry, like many other heavy industries that most local governments would want to regulate to ensure that they're sited correctly and they're protective of public health, safety, and welfare in the environment when they're operating.
Yeah, I understand. Was it Adams County that is the first one that has actually come out with a more protective regulation?
Adams County is right now kind of in the midst of a real oil and gas boom. Just about 7 months ago now, Adams County put forward a moratorium, a six-month moratorium, and took that time to really look at what Senate Bill 181 would allow them to do, what their current regulations did, and what the needs were for that community. And so what they ended up doing is coming forward with some new regulations that really restrict oil and gas activity to those areas that are zoned for industrial or agricultural and excluded oil and gas activities from coming into residential zones. They also put forward a 1,000-foot setback from homes, which is twice what the Colorado Gas Conservation Commission has at 500 feet. What Adams County has done is go far beyond in protecting air quality and water quality. They're are going to be much higher standards for protecting those values in Adams County than anywhere else in the state.
And I understand that several other counties within the state have placed moratoriums on new oil and gas development while they also work on their own regulations.
Yeah, there are a number of counties that are looking at regulations. Some have put forward moratoriums and others are just working on regulations without a moratorium in place. The danger of not having a moratorium in place is that you have to accept the application with the regulations you have on the books at the time. If you are expecting to have a number of oil and gas permits come across your desk, the best thing to do, certainly the safest path, is to put a moratorium in place, which is more or less a timeout, saying we're not going to accept any applications until we have looked at our regulations and enacted regulations that are going to be protective of public health, safety, welfare, and the environment.
What impact does that have on the oil and gas industry when there are different standards that they need to comply with depending on the county that they're operating in?
The oil and gas industry is very able and willing to meet local regulations when they're clear and they know what they are. Every industry deals with different set of local regulations for their industry, and they do just fine. Oil and gas industry is going to thrive regardless, so long as they are willing to roll up their sleeves and work with those local governments.
With counties that are choosing not to implement their own oil and gas regulations, what are they giving up? There's a lot of counties in the state that have never had their own oil and gas regulations.
Well, I would suppose that what it means is that they think that the state floor, the minimum regulations at the Colorado Gas Conservation Commission are sufficient and that additional regulations that take on, local concerns or are going to be more protective of their constituents aren't necessary. And, you know, that's not my reading of it. I think the Cut Oil and Gas Conservation Commission regulations are truly that. They're just a state floor. Local government regulations are going to be more attuned to the local needs, whether it be Delta County, Montrose County, Mesa County, Adams County, or Boulder County. I mean, all of those local governments know what their constituents need. They know what other development pressures are out there, whether that be residential or commercial or other industries that are coming to the area. Local regulations are going to do a better job at protecting the interests of local constituents than the state could ever do. I don't want to presuppose what Delta County commissioners and what their constituents care about, but certainly they can do a much better job at protecting those interests than the state can.
And that was Attorney Matt Sura. For a better understanding of how the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, also known as the COGCC, is implementing SB 181, the new law about oil and gas regulation, I spoke with Jeff Robbins, the commission's director. We discussed Delta County's recent repeal of its oil and gas regulations and how county and state regulations differ in scope.
I would say a vast majority of local governments rely on the state to regulate oil and gas. And so Delta County's position is a little bit unique in that they had regulations and then repealed them. But for a vast majority of local governments across the state, they never had regulations to begin with and just rely on the state to be the regulatory body relative to oil and gas.
The Delta County regulations covered things like operators must file an emergency response plan, that oil and gas facilities in wildfire hazard areas were supposed to have a fire mitigation plan. Delta County had regulations about areas that were designated floodplains where operators were not allowed to store hazardous material. Oil and gas operations cannot interfere with irrigation ditches or pipelines, and that operators are supposed to control noxious weeds. And so those are just a few examples of things that were in Delta County's regulations. Does the state have regulations that apply in all those areas that I mentioned?
Yeah. Under the current regulatory protocol at the state, we have our current regulations that are in place that existed before 181 came into existence. And then we also have the objective criteria regulatory protocol. And that was something that was found in Senate Bill 181. And it basically was the legislator's direction to me as director that during the pendency and before the rulemakings are done under 181, you, director, shall create objective criteria that you will use to ensure that if you approve permits, they are protective, which is the new mandate under 181, that we will no longer foster development, but that we will regulate in a manner that's protective. And so under the objective criteria and the state current permitting protocol, most of those areas are actually covered in the state. I would think that the one area that local governments tend to review a little closer than the state is with regard to emergency response. And the reason for that is that, generally speaking, the emergency responders, those on the ground, are indeed local government. If the local government is not regulating, then I would likely have a review forwarded to that local government to ensure that we're taking care of the emergency preparedness component of oil and gas operations. The emergency preparedness component is also something that operators on their own are very good about doing. They realize that's an important component to it. So I think that's sufficiently covered. The other areas, irrigation ditches is covered under making sure that an oil and gas operation is not pollutive to water courses or waterways. That's covered under our rules and regulations, as well as under the objective criteria. We have a provision relevant to noxious weeds as well. So I would say, generally speaking, those areas are covered.
In regards to irrigation ditches, do the state regulations cover things that might, you know, like damage an irrigation ditch or pipeline, or are the state's regulations specifically related to pollution of irrigation water?
Actually, we would make sure that if there is irrigation water nearby, we would not approve an oil and gas location that would interfere with an irrigation conveyance system, just like we wouldn't approve an oil and gas operation that would interfere with a county road.
What are the specific kinds of things that you would expect counties to potentially regulate?
Senate Bill 181 provides breast authority to local governments to regulate the surface aspects and the land use issues associated with oil and gas development. And so that's the areas that I think we're going to see local governments refining in on, as opposed to, you know, sort of the technical downhole aspects that my state agency regulates. And then there's a little bit of kind of a gray area where land use and surface aspects and environmental concerns, you know, odors, dust, those sorts of things, where both the state and the local government will kind of co-regulate.
And what about things like geohazards? Here in Delta County, we have some pretty geologically unstable regions that are prone historically to some pretty big landslides. Is that anything that the state considers when issuing permits or that the state regulates?
Yeah, the state does consider those sorts of issues. Oftentimes, the state will defer to the local government, who may have more information or experience in that sort of area. In the instance of, say, Delta County, who doesn't have regulations, the state would do a referral to Delta County so that it can have its building department or, you know, whatever department it is that may have more information, help inform the state on issues such as that, so that we're making sure that we're not permitting something that is in a geologically sensitive area, or if it is, that is appropriately mitigated.
If a county chooses not to implement its own regulations once the state regulations are in place, what is it giving up? What is it not going to be able to have control over?
Well, it would not be exercising the authority provided to it to regulate the surface impacts or surface aspects of oil and gas development. There are communities in the state that are interested in being involved in where an oil and gas facility is located. The state also has authority about location, and we are attempting to create a regulatory framework that will be collaborative with local governments that want to be involved in where a location is. If a local government is not going to flex a regulatory authority with regard to that, the state will still create a regulatory framework that has a check-in with the local government, I believe, so that we can get insight and perspective from the local government about those surface issues, including location.
We just heard from Jeff Robbins, head of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, the COGCC. If you're just tuning in, this is Local Motion on KBNF, and I'm Jody Peterson. Next, I talked to Natasha Leger, executive director of grassroots environmental group Citizens for a Healthy Community. She describes her group's perspective on Delta County's repeal of its regulations and what risks that repeal might pose for the county.
Our biggest risks are due to geological instability and spills due to traffic accidents, because Delta County is considered to be a pass-through county. A lot of the oil and gas activity right now is in Gunnison County. There really isn't that much in Delta County right now. But the real issue when you're regulating is not necessarily looking at what's happening right now, but what could potentially happen in the future, so that you're actually ready for that and that you can be proactive. And where these activities are located have the greatest impact on potential for environmental and health impacts. Delta County can always go ahead and put in new regulations later, but that doesn't actually solve the problem of how do they immediately respond to something that happens when they're not currently regulating. And by repealing their regulations right now, what they've basically said is for the next 18 months to 24 months, we're not going to have that type of local control.
I understand that various stakeholders had been involved in a process to revise the county oil and gas regulations.
So that working group submitted 33 recommendations to the county commissioners in December of 2018. To address a number of different issues they reached consensus on, which really focused on emergency response, traffic, water and air quality issues. And those were recommendations that were supposed to go into the regulations revisions.
And that was a working group that was convened at the request of the county?
Yes. Okay. And it actually started through the master plan process. The working group this late spring came to consensus on outcomes for the revised oil and gas regulations, which included zero spills, zero traffic accidents, no degradation of water quantity or quality, no degradation of air quality. That's where the county really needs to start with its regulations. Those are the outcomes that we want out of that as a community.
I understand that CHC had suggested that Delta County place a moratorium on new development until it could develop its own regulations to replace the ones that were repealed.
A moratorium is a local government tool that allows government to basically preserve the status quo while not approving any new applications, for example, when the regulatory landscape has changed. Unfortunately, the county commissioners did not like that approach. The county was also fearful of lawsuits because of deficiencies in its current regulations. Well, when you have a moratorium in place, you actually protect yourself from a lawsuit because you're actually not approving anything new based on deficient or substandard regulations.
The state regulates most aspects of oil and gas development, and many counties don't even have their own regulations. What's the issue with relying on state oversight?
So the state addresses some of the areas at a high level that Delta County was originally regulating in its old regulations. However, there are gaps in that. And so, for example, impact to agriculture and irrigation and emergency management. There are unique local issues that may not be caught under the state rules. So, for example, potential damage to irrigation infrastructure due to induced seismicity, basically man-made created earthquakes. And research has shown that deep well wastewater injection wells cause earthquakes. Research has also shown that fracking of wells themselves, so basically the injection of water, sand, and chemicals at high pressure to fracture the formations, those also cause earthquakes. COGCC currently regulates the deep wastewater injection wells, but not the fracking itself from an induced seismicity perspective. And because we're in such a geologically unstable area that is prone to landslide, there's grave concerns over that induced seismicity and the impact that that could have, not only from a health and safety perspective, but also from an infrastructure and in particular irrigation infrastructure perspective. Regarding emergency management, the state depends on local government to respond on the ground. And emergency management actually has a broad range of considerations, from response on site, on the well pad, to off-site issues. And the state right now is primarily looking at the on-site emergency response and also emergency response within a public drinking water system. So while addressed, there's still some limitations to that. So the issue really is the gaps that would be covered by local government or the county in this instance. So for example, if there are accidents, truck traffic accidents, rollover into Paonia Reservoir, how do you respond to that? So ultimately, the issue here is that the state does address issues at a very high level, but there are gaps. And so the question for those of us concerned about local impacts is really adequacy versus completeness and how those gaps get addressed when local government chooses to abdicate their regulatory authority.
After talking to Natasha Leger of Citizens for a Healthy Community, I spoke with one of the Delta County commissioners, Don Supas, about the county's repeal of its oil and gas regulations in September. The county currently has two actively producing wells, and there's a pending application for one more. Under SB 181, Delta County has joined a coalition of Western Slope counties, including Mesa, Jackson, Moffat, Rio Blanco, and Montezuma. These counties say that they are working with the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission to ensure that new state regulations reflect Western Slope concerns. I first asked Don Supas if the county had taken enforcement actions against energy companies when it did have its own regulations in effect.
I know in the past there have been, items of noncompliance that the county has forced upon past wells, past industries, but I can't give you any specifics.
Now that the regulations have been repealed, what happens if those same kind of noncompliance situations arise?
Back when this was an issue, was back before the state really had the heavy arm of enforcement that they do now. So when the state was not enforcing, that's when the county felt that, you know, that those decisions needed to be made, and the county stepped up their enforcement. Fast forward 20 years now, and the state basically enforces everything and more that the county was enforcing. The county still maintains our local government designee, so we will still have eyes and ears on the scene, and we will be able to report back to the state through that local government designee.
So does the state then have the ability to regulate if there are, you know, if there's road damage or if there's something that interferes with delivery of irrigation water?
The state will maintain, if there's spills on the roadways, the state covers that. As far as, you know, if there's something going on with a spill in a irrigation structure, anything like that, then absolutely the state has that controlling authority.
If you look at all the areas that the county was regulating under Appendix 1 in the specific development regulations, those are all covered by the state?
Pretty much all of them. Really, the only two things were like road usage and the siting exact locations. But those two issues were not really Delta County issues that we've fought with, because most of the road issues happened in Gunnison County. And as far as siting issues, the state's very specific on how these companies operate and where they operate and how they maintain.
One thing that a lot of counties in Colorado have done is institute a moratorium in response to SB 181. Why did Delta County decide not to do that?
You know, we don't have that much activity. You know, it's not like we've got 10 applications sitting out there waiting to be approved. We've got one application, and that's probably the only application we're going to have for a number of years. So to put a moratorium on something that's not really happening anyways really didn't make much sense.
As I understand it, Delta County is now working with Garfield County and some other Western Slope counties under the COGCC to help shape the state rules to account
Correct.
For the differences between the Western Slope and the Front Range.
Correct.
So who in the county is involved in that effort?
Our planning department is involved in that, and the commissioners have been involved in that.
So what do you see as the most important of the differences between drilling on the Front Range and drilling on the Western Slope, and how do you think those differences should shape the state's oil and gas regulations?
Well, anybody that's been to Weld County, where a lot of the oil and gas is drilled in this state, understands that there's nothing in Weld County that resembles the Piceance Basin. So we have a lot more issues with natural waterways, sloping structures. There's a lot of other issues that we have that aren't even a consideration in Weld County.
Are you talking about in terms of just the geology?
I'm talking just geology, landscape, location. You know, not very much oil and gas is drilled on public lands over in Weld County versus here, where it's almost all on federal grounds. So there's a lot of differences. We just want them to be able to take the differences into account. We don't want a one-size-fits-all policy for oil and gas. I'm not a geologist. I'm not an oil and gas expert. I will rely on people that have that expertise to give me the knowledge I need to help make decisions. And that's where we are with this working group, is trying to make sure that we are involved through the COGCC and make sure that we understand where their decision-making is going and make sure that they're taking considerations into factor that affect us here on the Western Slope that might not affect them on the Front Range.
Is Delta County eventually going to implement its own rules for oil and gas?
Yeah, we have full intentions of implementing rules again. We are in the process of redoing our own land use regulations right now, so it's a natural part of that. And secondly, our regulations were not set up well from what we had before, hence the lawsuit that came about, and it wasn't prudent for the taxpayers to continue with poorly written policies on that.
So is the county's intention to take those 30-some recommendations that were forwarded by the county's oil and gas working group into account when creating its own rules?
Absolutely.
Is there a process and a timeline for that?
Right now, we actually have a meeting scheduled in the near future, a joint meeting with the commissioners and the oil and gas working group to discuss some of those. And then also, you know, we are watching very closely what happens with the rulemaking process following SB 181.
If you're just joining us, this is Local Motion on KVNF, and I've been speaking with Don Supas, Delta County Commissioner, about the county's repeal of its oil and gas regulations and its plan for future regulations. Another Western Slope county, Gunnison County, has had its own set of oil and gas regulations in place for many years now. John Messner, a Gunnison County commissioner and the local government representative on COGCC, describes why that is and how Gunnison County regulates oil and gas locally.
Gunnison County has been regulating oil and gas development within our jurisdiction since 2003. We were one of the first counties in the state to have our own local oil and gas regulations under the very similar mission as the COGCC's mission is right now, which is the preservation of public health, safety, welfare, the environment, and wildlife resources. You know, within Gunnison County, we now have worked out really good relationships with the operators within our jurisdiction, and I think are in a place where the operators are successful and we're able to regulate that industry so that we are preserving those core values that are in our regulatory process. And so I think that there is the ability for local jurisdictions to regulate oil and gas operations. I think that there is the ability for the state to regulate oil and gas operations with the mission of preserving public health, safety, welfare, the environment, and wildlife resources, and for industry to still be successful in the state of Colorado.
So what are some examples of aspects of oil and gas development that Gunnison County regulates that the state does not?
So some of the things that we regulate and that we look at through a local lens is really the siting of the oil and gas facilities and analyzing the different impacts to water bodies, to impacts to wildlife, impacts to neighbors or any adjoining land uses. You know, we look at impacts to county roads. We look at, you know, impacts to winter big game habitat. We certainly look at impacts, potential impacts to the Gunnison sage grouse. Different things are really no different than we would look at, you know, if there was a gravel pit that was being proposed in a particular area. You know, similar set of criteria would be on that. Gunnison County still defers to the state of Colorado as far as regulating any kind of downhole activity because the COGCC has the technical expertise that our local jurisdiction does not have as far as, you know, permitting the underground activity.
But it sounds like a lot of the things that you do regulate are basically surface or land use impacts that the state really wouldn't have the specific knowledge to regulate.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the motivations when we developed that. I think that as we go into rulemaking around SB 19-181, I think the state will look more at, you know, how surface impacts affect things. But I think in the past, it was our feeling that the state was not adequately looking at surface impacts, and so really felt it was necessary for us to develop our regulatory process.
Is it possible that Gunnison County would opt to repeal its regulations?
No, I don't think Gunnison County will choose to do that. I mean, we're strong believers in local control. To be able to at least look at different permitting activities through our local lens is important. And, you know, while the state may have a certain criteria or a certain structure that they do things, we certainly wouldn't allow the state to come in and, you know, regulate a gravel pit within Gunnison County. And so, you know, like I said before, we really treat oil and gas the same way we treat all industry activities within Gunnison County, and so we would continue to do that in our local land use process.
Finally, Eric Carlson, Executive Director of the West Slope Colorado Oil and Gas Association, provides an industry perspective on counties implementing their own oil and gas regulations. Critics have said that SB 181 could create a patchwork of rules that will impede the industry.
Well, there already is regulations that affect the industry in different counties in the West Slope. Both Delta in the past and Gunnison County currently do have local regulations that impact the industry. And there are a number of other local regulations in dealing with land use planning that have always impacted the industry on a county-by-county basis. It's an important role of local governments to deal with those aspects of, and that's the reason that there is a push forward on having local government have that impact, was to remove what in the past had been a preemption, the state preemption from any kind of surface activities. That was previous to SB 181, the sole responsibility of COGCC, and that has been expanded now to allow local governments, where they're so interested, to stand up their own regulatory agency. And obviously we would be concerned about, you know, just having, again, a third layer of regulations. If, say, for example, on federal lands, we have a federal level of inspections and requirements. We have a state level of inspections and requirements. And local governments would add a third layer of inspection requirements. And the subsequent cost of that regulation, which was, in all likelihood, being borne by the industry. When I say we're concerned, we certainly want regulations that are something that we can incorporate into the cost of development and incorporate in the cost of operating a developed field. You know, we are always cautious of what it would be expected of us, and is it something that's reasonable and necessary which are words that were put into SB 181 because it is important for us to realize that if it's reasonable and if it's really necessary, then, you know, let's have that conversation to figure out what it is you're trying to protect a part of the public health and safety. And we'll try to work through that. I think that's our gravest concern. We have had a lot of good cooperation historically in the West Slope with counties and towns that they have went, in some cases, well beyond the requirements of the statute, in some cases to accommodate local citizen concerns. And the industry's always been willing to go that extra mile if that's what's necessary. You know, they're going to move forward. I mean, we're in the business of developing it in the safest manner we can.
And that wraps up this edition of Local Motion. Here at KVNF, we'll continue to report on the new state law and how Western Slope counties are responding. In the meantime, you can find this program and many others on our website, kvnf.org. Thanks for tuning in.